Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I am DJ Impact, and I have with me Sin City Steve. How are you?
Doing well. How you guys doing?
Great. King Lucky.
It feels great to be the king.
Maybe. Matt Michaels.
I'm doing good, brother. Doing good.
Awesome. Well, we have a special guest with us. We have an independent professional wrestler that's out of Coral Springs, Florida, Chelsea Durden. Hey, Chelsea, how you doing?
Hey, how are you? I'm good.
Awesome, awesome.
All right, so Chelsea, you currently are an up-and-coming wrestler. You're in Florida, which is always a great place to be.
Mm-hmm.
But even more importantly, you're currently under the umbrella, under the guidance of a living vampire. Is that correct?
I am, yes. I only see him at night, actually.
So how did you get interested in wrestling? And we'll start from those beginnings of was it something as a kid, or was it something that, you know, caught you just, you know, as you were a little bit older?
It was definitely something that caught me as a kid. I grew up with an older brother who I idolized, so anything that was his interest was something that I mirrored, and that included wrestling.
Oh, that's cool.
He kind of moved on from it, but I never did, and years later, here I am doing it myself.
That's awesome. And who was your inspiration growing up, and, you know, when you were watching wrestling, male or female?
My favorite wrestler of all time from when I was about 5 or 6 still to this day is The Undertaker.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, to me, he represents everything, you know, spooky and mysterious and like the last best kept secret of wrestling. And he was that big, amazing, larger than life character that just really, really gripped me when I was a kid and, you know, through my whole life watching and enjoying wrestling.
Have you gotten a chance to watch him live?
I have one time, and it was WrestleMania 28 when they were here in Miami.
Oh, nice.
That match against Triple H when they did it Hell in a Cell.
Did you get goosebumps when he came out?
I did. It was unbelievable. I was kind of far away, but I could still feel the fire, you know, on
the
side of the ramp.
When they used to do that, that was so awesome.
Yeah, King
Lucky. Oh, what an experience.
Yeah, King Lucky's still upset that they don't set off fireworks at every single WWE show. But so, you know, with that, did you like the concept of dark horror films, that kind of thing, as a kid? Was that something that you kind of, you know, embodied as well? I don't want to say were you goth, but, you know, it's
That's actually not too far from the truth, really. I was always kind of into, you know, darker type of media, music, you know, books, films, anything like that. And I don't want to say one caused the other, but I feel like my interest in The Undertaker as a character at 5 years old probably drove a lot of my, like, oh, well, this movie The Crow is really cool, and stuff like that.
Yeah. And let me ask you this. When he lost at WrestleMania 30, I was there live, and it was just the whole arena was deflated. Were you disappointed that they took the mystique off of the streak and had Brock beat him?
I mean, I will say I didn't talk to anybody for the rest of the night. I'm not sure if I thought maybe that it would last, you know, forever until he retired, or that, you know, somebody would take it, and if anybody would be the one to break it, it would be another absolute behemoth. But I gotta say, that was really emotional for me as a fan at the time.
Do you think that the connection that you have with the Undertaker as a character, and what you're learning as a worker in the ring, do you think that you see yourself as someone who will be able to take the character when you fully develop, you know, who you are, you know, meaning for the next, you know, 10, 15 years, people will identify Chelsea as, you know, this type of character. Do you see yourself being able to connect to fans in the same way that The Undertaker has been able to connect to fans? Now, I'm not saying, you know, the massive global necessarily, but just if there were two people in the audience that night that watched you and went, my God, I want to be like her when I grow up. Do you feel that that's possible, and would you like to see something like that happen?
I think that's always the goal. That's always been the personal goal for me with wrestling, is that I wanted to be for someone else what my heroes growing up were to me. You know, the person that instilled the like the fear and the mysticism and the wow into, you know, 5-year-old me. I would like to be that for somebody else. And it's you know, certainly no one can really recapture the magic of a global phenomenon, but it's been, you know, something that's been my goal throughout the years that I've been wrestling, to connect with people and leave that impact on them the way the greats have.
That's a great answer. And I think, you know, while you're still learning, while you're building, do you feel that now that you're getting trained at Gangrel's school, do you feel that you're starting to learn a little bit more about what it takes in terms of developing that character and psychology and kind of getting that ring presence?
Oh, definitely. Those are some of the things that to him as a trainer I've noticed are very, very important. It's a lot of little things, little details, you know, facial expressions, how every movement of your body that you take in the ring is meant for a purpose to connect and to tell that story.
Right. That's awesome that you're learning that from someone who is probably one of the best workers and one of the better teachers out there. Do you think that your style of wrestling that you're learning right now and that you're incorporating, do you see this taking you from, you know, right there in Florida to a bigger audience like a ROH, AEW? Where do you see yourself going? How are you paving that road?
Well, it's interesting because I'm really I'm kind of in a transitional period in my wrestling career right now. I'm really starting to branch out more, travel more, learn different things and different styles, and kind of incorporate it into one cohesive thing that works for me. Because you'll see in any of the big companies, WWE, Ring of Honor, New Japan, AEW, nobody just sticks to one particular style. You have to be well-rounded. You have to be able to take what you see different places and see if that's something that works for you that you can use. You have to be able to adapt to all sorts of different things. So what I'm trying to do now is adapt the different things I'm learning now from different people in different places, you know, the tools that Gangrel is giving me, and develop a more, you know, cohesive style.
Nice. And you've wrestled Santana Garrett, a longtime veteran, a couple of times. And is there some things that you learned from her that have helped you along the way as well?
Oh, absolutely. She's been such a great mentor to me over the years. It's been such a privilege to work with her as many times as I've been able to. And I always learn something, you know, every time I share a ring with her.
Nice.
It's really important for, you know, everybody, but especially women, to have, you know, strong role models in the wrestling business to be able to follow.
Oh yeah.
Who do you think right now, if you take a look at all the women that are in wrestling, even, you know, not necessarily on a national scale, who would you say are your top two or three that you would love to, you know, get a chance to do a program with so you can learn a little bit more?
Oh my God, I have a dream list of opponents, you know, a mile long. especially because there's so many people. One of them would probably be Jessica Havoc.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Who has, you know, taken the whole country and beyond by storm. I think I love her style and her intensity. And I have a lot of friends who've gotten the chance to work with her, so that would be a privilege in and of itself. Gosh, who else? As far as, you know, the bigger, the you know, international levels,
right.
Becky Lynch is obviously the man.
Yeah,
she's. I feel like she's paving the way for the rest of us, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. How let me ask you this. You saw her wrestle at WrestleMania in the main event, you know, also joined with Ronda Rousey and Charlotte. How big was that moment, you know, for women's wrestling?
That was a wild moment. The entire stadium completely, it was, you could feel it, like you could feel the goosebumps, you could feel like the air changed in the entire stadium. It didn't matter, you know, it that was a long, long show. I think I had to have been there for like 7 hours or something like that, and I think I even missed the pre-show.
No way, you were there, because we were there too.
Yeah, there were people starting to, you know, at that point in the cold, it's getting late, everybody's starting to get tired, but everyone just completely erupted. There was this sense the entire weekend up in New York City, because I was there for a couple days, you know, working with WrestleCon.
Yes.
And
yes.
The atmosphere, everybody, you could hear everybody talking about you know, the women's main event for WrestleMania and who they thought was going to walk out the two belts, and it turned out to be Becky with the two belts, and it was such an incredible historic moment that I don't even know how I can better describe the feeling to be able to witness it. Like, such an amazing milestone for women's wrestling.
Yeah, and the fact that they gave that match the proper amount of promotion, build up, you know, everything that went into it with the entrances, Charlotte coming in a helicopter, you know, and just so much of it went into really telling the story, and then the match itself delivered. Like you said, it was a long show. We were there, and, you know, after 6-7 hours of wrestling, you know, it's kind of hard to keep the crowd, but, you know, once they got going and the result happened, I mean, it was just phenomenal.
It was incredible. You could tell everybody was working so, so hard, and it meant so much to, you know, all three women in that ring. Was representing the very, very best the women's side of this industry has to offer. And what an incredible, incredible match it was.
I agree.
Yeah. So outside of the ring, if we go to your Instagram, you like to take pictures with little furry friends.
I do.
So did you have a dog growing up? And is this like, have you always been a dog lover, or are you also a cat woman as well?
I am both. I've always been obsessed with animals growing up. I've always had German Shepherd dogs. So those are the current loves of my life, are my two German Shepherds. But I also have cats who I'm obsessed with, and I like to take pictures of all of them. And I have a continuing series on my Instagram called Chelsea with Other People's Dogs.
Yep. I think that is one of the most brilliant, like, simple things. Like,
I just love other people's dogs.
Yeah.
They're great. Everybody's dogs are great.
Yeah, I mean, that's the funniest thing, is that everyone can relate to being a pet owner. What some people can't relate to is getting into the gym. How hard is it for you to motivate yourself to get into the gym when you know that you've got to, you know, wrestle and train, which is physically demanding as it is? How important is it with, you know, your development? And because, you know, I mean, nowadays you look at Charlotte, you look at some of these wrestlers, they are just in, like, they're more athletic than the men.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's so, so important. And it's so hard, especially for someone like me. I wasn't an athlete growing up at all. None of this comes easy to me. Wrestling, working out, any of it. So much of it comes naturally to some of the people that I work with, but for me it's been a really, really grueling process. Like, I get up at 5:45 every morning, go to the gym, go to work because I have a 9-to-5 day job. After work, I go get beat up by Gangrel. I'm just kidding, he doesn't beat me up, he's really nice. Don't tell him I said that. But and then the weekend, you know, driving out all over Hell in Creation for different shows, and it's a really grueling schedule, and trying to get stronger in the gym is really hard for me, but it's so, so, so important because, you know, you need that strength and that dexterity and the speed and the cardio. My God, the cardio is so, so, so important. You got to be able to, you know, keep your wind up.
Yeah.
You know, having 30-minute matches, you know, if you're second wind 10 minutes in, you're going to be in trouble.
I love the image that you've created. Has anyone ever, like, commented or said anything about how you kind of got that evil Stephanie McMahon look going on?
Yeah, actually, I've heard that more than a few times. And at first, I was like, "What are you talking about?" And then I kind of looked at pictures, and I looked at pictures of Stephanie McMahon then, and then of her now, and I'm like, "Huh?"
It's it's weird.
It is. It definitely is.
So, speaking of her, do you ever think of yourself like? I know, obviously, you're training, you are growing as an actual wrestler, but do you ever think about doing something kind of like Selena's doing down in MLW, Stephanie being in the WWE, and of course it's family related, but still, you know, just a woman who can take over production and, you know, book matches and produce a television show. Has something like that ever, you know, entered your mind?
That's always occurred to me, different roles in wrestling like that. You know, Selena is a friend of mine, and she just has this natural, again, Stephanie McMahon quality about her, this, you know, badass woman, take over the world type of thing. And I don't know if it's something that I could be anywhere near as good at as they are. I think, I don't know. I've never tried to take over the entire world before, but I guess if I start now, I'll see if I'm any good at something like that.
Oh yeah. And you know, just for something outside of the ring that I noticed that you're huge into comics. Were you into them from a young age?
Oh yes, my whole life. Giant nerd.
Who's your favorite?
Well, that depends where we're going. But
I saw the Batman hook. Well, let's go DC first.
Obviously, Batman. There's no contest there.
Well, then I also got to ask you too, because they just casted a new Batman. Are you happy with that casting?
I, as with every casting of Batman, I reserve my judgments until the movie.
Ah, there you go.
Gotcha. Because there are castings that have surprised me in the past. I had a lot of trouble picturing Heath Ledger as a Joker, We all saw how that turned out.
Yes.
So I'm withholding judgment till I see what happens.
Did you feel like, with the DC universe, that Ben Affleck got the fair shake? I mean, would you have liked to see him continue on?
I would have. I thought, you know, the kind of universe that they were building there was pretty cool. I liked that they didn't bother going with another Batman origin movie for his portrayal, because at this point, I'm pretty sure we all know how Batman became Batman.
Right.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that they for his story as Batman, they kind of just launched into it. I would have liked to have seen more of where they went with it, but now I just have to see where the cookie crumbles with Mr. Pattinson.
Well, let me ask you, on the Marvel side of things, who's your favorite there?
I am an Iron Man fan.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Clearly your heart was broken when, you know, at the end of... you know, the last movie, that was it for him.
Spoiler.
That was a really, really, really rough day.
Yeah,
I named my cat Tony Stark.
Oh, no.
He passed away last year.
Oh.
So I lost my cat, and then I saw the movie, and that was a rough day.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that was a heartbreaker. You know, for me, I didn't, you know... I the first time I watched it, you know, it's a 3-hour movie, so they're telling a lot of different stories within that movie. And with the way it ended, I was heartbroken, right? But I went to see it again for the second time, and I was even more emotional with the way it all ended after watching it a second time. It was just, you know, do you feel like they could bring him back at some point?
I don't want to be hurt again. I'm not ready to open my heart again tomorrow.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was awesome at the same time. It was so emotionally draining because we lost Cap. You know, Cap went on to do his thing, and then Iron Man is just, it was a rough one.
Yeah, definitely. Also, obviously, you know, speaking of your fandoms, looking at your Instagram, I see that you've done some cosplay, at least on several occasions. What would you say was your favorite cosplay that you've done?
I have a couple of favorites. The one that I did for many years until I finally had to retire the costume was from Final Fantasy VII, Tifa.
Oh yeah, nice.
What did that one for years?
Out of curiosity, have you seen any of the footage from the remake?
I have, and I pre-ordered my remake the very same day. And I've done my waiting, like 14 years of it, and I'm ready.
Okay, so I've got to ask then, along those same lines, you've been around pushing the pop vinyl figures at various collectible booths. Do you actually collect?
Yeah.
Do you collect them?
I do. It's probably, I should see a therapist. I have a really unhealthily large collection.
Yeah. Sin City Steve.
They're all over my walls. They're in my closet.
Oh, no. You know what?
Sin City, wow.
Sin City Steve is, he's looking like he's shamed right now because he also... Every time he gets a new one or he gets a lead on a sale, he like messages me and is like, dude, you got to check this one out. But he is totally obsessed right now with those. And yeah, so you guys would bond very well over that.
100%. Yeah, for sure.
It's sometimes I look at them and I say, how did you suck me in? Little strange figures, but I love them so much, and I have to stop, but I can't.
Right. See, it's the same thing for me. Like, I go into 7-Eleven now, and they sell them, and I'm like, oh, my God, there's the Sasha Banks one. I just want Sasha Banks. But then I look over, and there's Iron Sheik, and I'm like, oh, my God, now I see how Steve went down the rabbit hole, and now I know how Chelsea went down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you have over 100 of them.
Right.
There you go.
Well, who was your first one, Chelsea? Well, this is like a really weird therapeutic conversation about like who was your first one.
It is. We're going back to the very beginning. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that little game, Plants vs. Zombie.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally.
My very first Funko Pop was a little plant from Plants vs. Zombies. They were selling it at GameStop, and I thought it was really cute. And that was the beginning of a years-long journey into Pop Vinyl collection.
Wow. That's awesome.
It's, you know, it's really interesting because I got sucked into them because the dollar store they were selling them for like $2. And out of all the things, the first one I got was Uncle Cy from Duck Dynasty for no fucking reason.
Oh my God.
Seriously, like that's my first time. Like talking about being embarrassed, and you know. But what's really funny about it is they're cool. They've captured pop culture, you know, unbelievably well. But yet they have no mouths, which is fascinating.
Have mouths. Pikachu has a mouth.
He just ruined it for everybody out there that collects them. God. And you know what? I'll tell you, Chelsea, Matt Michaels did something that was like, it was almost clairvoyant. For Christmas, he gave all of us on the show here Kofi Kingston pop. And then Kofi wins the title.
Prophetic.
So, yeah, exactly. So we need you to come out with a pop, and in that way, you know, once he gives us yours, then boom, you're taking off like a rocket.
That's it. That's how the legacy
starts.
That's how the legacy continues.
If they were smart, right, they would create an avenue where you could go in and custom upload an image and then they would create it for you.
Oh, like a custom...
Like a custom pop. Yeah.
It'd be pretty simple to do.
It'd be very simple to do.
There are actually a lot of little custom creators out there that make their own. Mm-hmm. You can request them, ones that aren't that haven't
really
been made yet. Yeah, and then they make them, and they paint them, and then they make custom like box artwork for it. It's
oh wow, cool. That's really cool.
So, has anyone made a Chelsea Durden action figure for you yet?
Not yet, but that'll be the coolest thing that ever happens if and when it happens.
Anyone listening who's in the area of Chelsea's, you know, keep your eyes out, keep it posted, eyes peeled, any date she has, if you guys are custom action figure creators, please do us a huge favor. Make the first action figure for her. Please, I
beg
you.
Keep your eyes peeled, guys. That would be amazing.
Well, let me ask you, do you have any shows coming up here in the near future that you're going to be a part of?
I do on July 20th at the Dania Beach Casino. Got a show by Gangrel called Let It Ride.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Okay.
Gonna have Scott Steiner, Hornswoggle, a couple other familiar faces hanging out.
Wow.
And of course, wrestling dad himself, Gangrel.
That's awesome. And with these experiences of getting to do some of these local shows with some of these names that people recognize, is there someone who you've come across that you're just like through conversation or through watching them work really left an impression on you as a young wrestler that, oh yeah, you know what, that's definitely something I can use? Or, you know, is there anyone who touched you in that kind of certain manner?
Yeah, I got to work on a show with MVP once.
Okay.
Nice.
And he's kind of like a hometown hero for me, you know, grew up in South Florida, so I've followed his career the whole time. And I was just sitting backstage and I was watching his match, and just the way he moves and connects with people and everything he does means something was just so, so special and so cool. And especially being able to see it that up close and then being able to, you know, talk to him afterwards and have him dissect my match and give me pointers was a really, really incredible experience.
Did you see the Viceland episode of The Wrestlers with MVP?
I did.
Isn't that...
I really enjoyed it so far.
Yeah, if anyone listening hasn't seen that, that's a great story. Did you know about his history before wrestling and being in jail?
I did. I heard him on the Art of Wrestling podcast, and that's when I first really found out about all of that. So his whole journey is just really fascinating and a testament to what you can make of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So, hey, Chelsea, we've got a segment that we like to do here on the show. It's just going to be some quick word association. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to name off a list of names and just tell me the first thing that pops into your head whenever I say them. We're going to do it for 70 seconds. So are you ready?
Oh, man, that's a lot of pressure.
Okay. That's why I'm giving you a couple of seconds.
Okay.
All right. Cool. And we'll start up the clock. Gangrel.
Vampire.
Santana Garrett.
Mentor.
Rachel Ellering.
Smiley.
Amber Nova.
Fun.
Selena De La Renta.
Powerful.
Jesus Rodriguez.
Hysterical.
Mercedes Martinez.
amazing.
Shine.
Oh my god, I don't have a word for that.
Vanilla Vargas.
Terrifying.
Okay. Vanilla Vargas.
Friendly.
Aria Blake.
Dogs.
And last but not least, Sausage Castle Wrestling.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah, you didn't think we'd whip out the old Sausage Castle Wrestling, did you?
What an experience.
I could only imagine. See, that wasn't too painful, right?
Yeah. No.
All right.
You know what, in kind of as we're getting wrapping up here, one of the questions I have is, and we didn't really touch on this, is growing up, you got interested in wrestling. You had a brother who was, you know, into it. How were your parents in supporting you in terms of you becoming a wrestler?
My parents have always been supportive of anything that I wanted to do. You know, they worry for my health and my well-being, and every time, you know, they see me limping around or with a black eye or, you know, anything like that, they worry, but they've been so, so supportive, and nothing makes them happier than being able to come out to a local show and watch me do what I love.
That's awesome. That's wonderful.
Where can they find you at?
You can find me on Instagram at Durden Says, because I like to say things.
That's awesome. Well, that'll work. Well, thank you again for hanging out with us, and we will...
Thanks.
Yeah.
Wow.
We are so sorry, but it was just like watching, like, you have a refrigerator that's totally running when you open the door.
No.
And then it just goes and it's dark and nothing's happening.
His elevator is stuck on mezzanine. He's supposed to go to the 12th floor.
Oh, man. First off, I'm doing 10 things at once. My apologies, Chelsea. But we will keep up with you, and we thank you for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me, guys. I
had
a great time.
Awesome.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back in a moment. Diamond Street, what's up, man? How are you?
How's everybody doing?
Good, good, good. Sin City Steve.
Well, well, well.
And Mr. Matt Michaels, how are you?
I'm feeling a little Canadian pride today, even though I'm not Canadian by birth. But I'm Canadian by, I guess it would be osmosis.
Yeah. Or maybe in your heart.
In my heart, yeah, there we go.
There you go. Well, the reason why you say that, because of our guest we have on the phone, a couple of promotions that she has been a part of is NCW, Shimmer, Atomic Championship Wrestling, and LDDC. She goes by her name, Mary Lee Rose.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really good. How about you guys?
Great.
Not bad.
Great. Everyone just all of a sudden just got like, oh, everyone's great. Okay. You know, one of the fascinating things that I love as we were kind of, you know, talking back and forth to get you on the show is that, you know, you were born in Quebec. And so English is not your first language, correct?
Not at all. So if you talk like too fast, I might get your repeat because no, but I think I will be okay, but no, it's definitely not my first language.
So for anyone who is listening in, you know, the Quebec area, can you introduce yourself to them in French?
You want me to introduce you to them?
Yourself.
You want me to introduce myself?
Yeah.
Myself. So, mon nom est Marilee Rose et je suis de provenance de Montréal. Okay. That's pretty much it.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
I, as a younger adolescent, had a crush on a particular woman that's from that area where you're from. I have a huge crush on Celine Dion. Always have.
Oh, really?
And anytime I've heard interviews, it's been quite a turn on. So if I go speechless a little bit, that is the reason why.
Okay. Well, now she lives closer to you guys than like from me, because yeah. She pretty much lives in the U.S. now, so
and
she pretty much a lot in the biggest.
Yep.
Yeah, she does.
Yep. And she's about to, if anyone listening is a big Celine Dion fan, get your tickets for Vegas, because she's about to end her run here, and she's finally, you know, going into what we would call like a semi-retirement. So
yes,
yeah. So you know, it's, and she's, you know, she's a phenomenal. My aunt and uncle, my uncle will go to shows and he won't know anything about the performer or singer, and so he's really hard to win over. And he didn't know much about her. They went to see the show, and he will not stop talking. It's been like 5 years, and he still continues to talk about how great she is. So definitely, wow. Yeah. So shout out to, you know, Celine Dion, and hopefully, if somehow she hears this, we all get free tickets. So
that's right.
Well, if she does hear this, please don't give me a restraining order. Yeah, I'm not a creep. I just have a really deep affection for a beautiful woman with a beautiful voice.
Yeah. So when you were growing up then, what was it like for you then to, you know, grow up and, you know, become a wrestling fan? What kind of wrestling did you, you know, grow up under? Was it under watching WWE, or were there local promotions you got to see that inspired you to become a wrestler?
Actually, I wasn't like a big fan of wrestling. I became one pretty late. It's just that two of my cousins were really good fan, like huge fan of WWE, WWF. So what happened is, even if I was not a fan, they practiced all their moves on me.
Sounds like a regular wrestling family.
Right.
Exactly. I was actually the jobber in this situation. And, but, you know, they showed me a lot of shows and WWE stuff and made me play a lot of game of WWE. And so I became a fan, but not like a huge fan. It was only when I was in a teenager, when it happened that I saw wrestling on TV, I watched it, but never, like, not every week, but when it happened to be on the TV, I was watching it. And I actually discovered that there was local wrestling really further, like, when I started, actually. Like, I saw my first local wrestling show, and a week after, I started training.
Wow.
Like, wow. Yes. I had that big, like, I had that big crush on the show about the part that is theater and
right.
Also a sport, like, all together. And my best friend was in the federation, and that's why I went to see the show. And the week after, it was like, okay, I want to do that, I want to be in a ring too. And I was doing jazz dancing at this moment in my life. And so it's so different, but so the same at the same time. So yeah, I wanted to like try something new, and since then, I'm a wrestler, but never was like that huge fan that pretty much everybody was before doing wrestling.
That's wonderful. I mean, you obviously, being a jazz dancer, you know, you had a taste already for the stage. which is wonderful.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, if you have that passion to be a performer, then it translates to being able to allow yourself at least to try to wrestle. And that's the nice thing. Yeah, that is so nice. And you're coordinated enough, you know about then what it takes to do a dance. And that essentially is what, you know, you're doing in the ring. You're partnering up. You're trying to achieve something together that is a fluid thing. And in your experiences, did you find starting out that it was, you know, just kind of, even though it was rough on the body, it was exciting and fun and fluid for you because you already had a little, you know, experience going in being a dancer?
Exactly. No, seriously. When, even if it was tough, even if the training was really, really rough, because at the moment, it was like 15 years ago, so women didn't have the same place in wrestling. Yeah. And so the training, I asked like to be treated exactly the same way that the men were. And so it was really rough. And at the end, I was doing like more push-ups than them. So it made me really proud. And I didn't really mind like the part about like being bruised, and because I didn't mind. I just didn't mind. It was just the adrenaline that it gave me to bump, to do all the stuff. Yeah, that's pretty much the part that made me fall in love with the sport. Even that's before awesome. I went to the ring, like even the training. Yep.
And actually, really quick, who did train you, for the record?
It's in a really small city in Quebec called Sorel. His name is Jean-François Simoneau, but he's not a wrestler anymore. Well, when I started to go out of the federation, I got trained by a lot of wrestlers from Quebec. Luffy Stowe is one of them. She trained me, and also Alex Price, James Craven, Drew Onyx, are one of the many people that trained me, because in Sorel there was only like one trainer, and it was like a really close federation, not a lot of people from outside, and people in the federation were not really allowed to go out. So when I did, I actually like got out of this federation to go to Montreal and got trained by other people.
Simon?
So you stated that you from there went to Montreal. What are some of the other people that trained you when you were in Montreal?
Yeah, so as I said, it's Luffy Stowe actually took me with her and trained me a lot. And Alex Price, he's not a wrestler anymore, but he helped me a lot when I got in a business in Montreal.
Do you think that they were very... because at that time, I know at the early 2000s, it was, like you said, it was a little harder. Did you find that once you had finally kind of broken in and people saw that you were, you know, willing to put in the work and abiding by, you know, training just as hard as the guys and better than the guys, that kind of gave you that breaking the ice of being able to then, you know, be mentored and travel and kind of, you know, people would, you know, share a little bit more with you because they saw your passion?
Yes, but I think that I got pretty lucky, to be honest. What I mean is, when I decided to go out of the federation in my hometown, and when I got out of my federation, my hometown, and came to Montreal to wrestle, the first federation that I went in was an all-woman federation called ALF. At this moment, it's Association de Lutte Féminine, which is in French. So I got pretty lucky, because then the woman path was kind of already there. Like, there was already a lot of women in Montreal that, enough to get their own show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even if I worked, like, yes, I worked a lot because I'm a woman and I wanted to get in the men business, if I can say that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got lucky. I got really, really lucky because the reason why I went to Montreal was to wrestle in the all woman federation that became Femme Fatale later. But that, so I got lucky for that. Yes.
Was it being an all women's federation? Mm-hmm. Did you find that the women were a little more acceptive of each other, or was there still a little bit of the, the ego and, you know, people trying to stay at a top position, you know, the dirty side of the business behind the scenes, or was it, you know, more supportive because it was all women trying to do something?
It's both. I think it was both then, and it's still both. Like, what I mean is, you know, women are bitches. Like,
sound like you know them very well.
Yeah, no, but you know, like, we have to say that we're bitch to each other, and so what I say, why I say that is, it's both. Like, they want to stay at the top, and yes, there is a little gang, and people get like bitchy and stuff, and yeah, it's all women altogether, so that's the way it works. But we are at the same time really supportive because we want this to work. Like, we're like, okay, so we work hard, we want to be like recognized as athletes and not only attraction in the ring,
right?
Mm-hmm. So yes, we do not have the choice to be supportive, like, altogether. We don't have like that the choice to be that, but it's both. Like, we're supportive, but we're bitchy at the same time.
really quick, is there someone who stands out in your mind that you can say has been your number one, either influence, or mentor, someone that sticks out and you go, you know, this is the person I kind of pattern myself after?
I don't know if I can say like mentor or pattern myself, but my favorite wrestler, female wrestler of all time, is definitely Sarah Del Rey.
Mm-hmm. yeah.
God, I love her, and it makes me so sad that she's not in a ring anymore, but I understand why.
Yeah,
why she's not in it anymore. She has pretty good reason, but I don't want to be like her, but the wrestling that she's doing, like the roughness that she has and the technique, and I remember the first time that I saw her in the ring, it was against the EZAs, and they pretty much did a headlock for like 8 minutes, and God, it was so freaking good. And I think it's Sarah Del Rey, definitely. I barely know her, like, barely talked to her when I went to Shimmer, but I think that she's the one that I want to be like in the ring, if it's possible.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful.
So, Mary, you know, let's change directions just for a moment here. Now, okay. I hear that you are a huge superhero fan, particularly DC. Tell us a little bit about your passion of, you know, obviously comics and growing up with heroes. And how does that relate to, you know, just any part of your life?
Well, yes, I actually just love superheroes, but I'm more a DC fan.
Okay.
I don't hate Marvel. it's not a war. I like all the movies. I always had a preference for the DC superheroes. Actually, Batman is the one that I've been growing up watching, and he's actually been always my man crush. Yeah, he is. Definitely, like, I grew up wanting to marry Bruce Wayne. But, yeah, so it's a big part of my life, like, loving mostly the movies. I read a lot of DC Comics, too, of course, and tried some Marvel. And I think that's why, too, I prefer DC, because since I read the comics, I think DC Comics are better than Marvel Comics.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the opposite for the movies. I agree with that. But, yeah, this is a big part. I have pretty much everything about Batman. I have shirts. I have, like, yeah.
So I got to ask you.
What do you think? Name it. I have it.
So I got to ask you two questions, okay? First question is, you're a huge Batman fan. It sounds like you are go hard or go home. How did you feel about the newer Batman comic where it showed very graphically, you know, Batman's dick? Like, how did you feel about that? As well, 'cause I've never had the opportunity to ask a woman who grew up loving Batman. Like, how did you feel about that? And have you read that comic? And if you haven't, then tell us why you haven't read that comic. So I don't sound like a man that's looking at Batman dicks.
Hashtag Batman's dick.
Well, I... okay, to be honest, I just told you, Batman is my ultimate crush. Mm-hmm. So... of course, I got excited about the dick.
Nice.
but pretty disturbing at the same time, if we can say that, because, you know, you're growing up, like, and loving something, and now it's pretty much like the total adult part, if we can say that. So
Yeah.
So, of course, I want to see him naked, but...
kind of took the imagination from you, huh?
I thought that it would happen.
So my next controversial Batman question to you is, how do you feel about the new casting of who I like to call Sparkly Batman? How do you feel about Sparkly Batman?
Well... to be really honest, mm-hmm. I am not that much disappointed.
You're not that much disappointed? Please share.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I know that, like, you call him Sparkly Batman because of the Twilight series.
Yes.
I watched a couple of movies that he made after that, and he is a freaking awesome actor.
He is. Yeah. Like Water for Chocolate. Was it Water for Chocolate or Elephants for Chocolate? The one was in Circus
Elephants
with...
for Chocolate.
Thank you, Elephants for Chocolate, Reese Witherspoon. Awesome movie.
Yeah. Yes, so... and there is another one that I just don't remember the name right now, but I just watched, like, it's not that long ago, and a really suspenseful movie, and he is really awesome, so... I'm not disappointed. I just can't wait to see what will happen. Like, I hope that it will be good. I hope for him. Right. Like, so, and I hope for myself too. But, you know, people were so, if we can compare, like, people were so mad about Heath Ledger casting as the Joker. And
yeah,
that's
true.
It was freaking amazing.
Yep.
So, no, I can't wait to see it. I just can't wait. People were bitchy when, Ben Affleck was cast as Batman too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was very bitchy.
And you were.
I did not like Ben Affleck as Batman at all.
No, not at all. I think physically he is Batman. Like,
physically.
But I didn't hate it too, but not loved it. It's just, but for Robert Pattinson, I have hope. I have a lot of hope.
Who would you say out of the actors who have played Batman, who would be like your top two or three in terms of the ones that you really like?
Well, of course, Michael Keaton for me is like a good choice. Michael Keaton, you know what? I think that Ben Affleck comes second.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I actually prefer them than Christian Bale. But I will put Christian Bale as a third one. Because, you know, the rest is like George Clooney and
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer. Yeah, I think Val Kilmer has the best mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know your Batman.
Yeah.
I know my Batman. I know my Batman. But yeah, so yeah, if I can say Michael Keaton, Ben Affleck, and Christian Bale.
Have you heard the buzz on the internet about the potential of trying to get Michael Keaton to play Bruce Wayne again in in the series of Batman stuff that has Bruce at the older age? What would you think of him, you know, getting a chance to come back and use everything he's learned? I mean, he's a great actor, and it's been 30 years now since that film. Do you think that if they made something like that, that would be something that would be intriguing to you? I guess what I'm getting at is, would you still want to see Batman's dick?
Old Michael Keaton, wrinkly dick. Probably smells like Bengay. I don't know.
Well, last question, no.
So then you agree with all of us.
Robert Pattinson, yeah.
Robert Pattinson, yes.
So let me ask you a question, too. I do have a very curious, when you said you read the comic books. In Quebec, do they do double printing where they have English and French comic books?
French version do exist, but I don't read it.
Okay.
It do exist in French in Quebec for the comics and everything. Wow. We do translate it.
That is pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, that's cool. I would get it just because it's in French. That would be kind of cool.
So let me ask you. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. No, you were about to say something.
Oh, no. No, I was just about to say that, like, reading it is okay, but I prefer the original language.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Definitely.
I gotcha. So my next question is I heard that you're a bit of a gamer, and I think out of the group, there's two of us that are gamers, me and Sin City Steve.
That's right.
I have a video game system, too.
Yeah, your video game system's kind of like a paper holder.
Yeah, the Atari does like that.
The Nintendo Entertainment System doesn't really count.
There's dust right now on your PlayStation 4, buddy. Yeah.
You got to excuse DJ.
Sorry.
DJ still...
You want to feel a part of something real quick.
DJ still feels that Pong is the hot game right now, so...
Hey, Pong is pretty crazy. Pong. Yeah, Pong, where you had the lines that hit the ball back and forth like tennis.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
DJ lives in 1974, so.
Oh.
Yeah, he does. He
still play on Atari, that's it?
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
whatever.
He does.
Yeah.
He's still trying to get E.T. out of the ground.
Yeah. So, what kind of games are you playing, and, you know, do you have a preference system, or, I mean, tell us a little about your gaming life.
Well, I'm more a PlayStation person.
Okay.
Of all. I do love Nintendo, too. It's just, you know, still have my Nintendo 64 somewhere in my apartment. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually my favorite, but it's been a while since I played. But right now I'm playing Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, that's same
the game
here.
I play. Yes, it's amazing.
I actually just started.
Game. really?
No, I really just started.
The best of the third.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, no. I played for a while, and then, as you know, we've been waiting for Kingdom Hearts 3 for, what, 5 years? Is it almost 5 years, I think it was? Yeah, so...
No, more than that.
You might have, I think they announced it like 7 years ago or something. I can't remember,
Yes, it's been a while. It's been a while since we were waiting for that game.
Yeah, finally waiting for Sora's return, which is awesome.
Yes.
That's super fun. So you're playing Kingdom Hearts. not to give too much away, because I don't know, is it a crime to give away spoilers on a wrestling podcast for video games? But, you know, fuck it, we're going to do it. It doesn't even freaking matter. I don't give two shits.
I'm not going to spoil anything.
Okay. No, you can if you want. We don't care. So far playing with the new mechanics in Kingdom Hearts 3, are you liking him so far, especially with, per se, the Disney rides being kind of like summons? I thought that was a cool little twist.
I don't really like the Disney. Don't really like the Disney ride. I don't know why. I think they're pretty annoying. I never know how to use them properly. I feel like I like the way that they put like the two keys in the same one and in only one. Like you can when you hit your opponent enough, it becomes like a stronger key, and I really like that. But the Disney ride, no, I don't. And the way that it all works now, I like the way that you go world to world, like, you know, in the map.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. It's pretty different than what it was. And you can choose where you want to go. That's I like. And you have, like, opponent during this time and everything. So I really, really enjoy that. And it's good to see new characters.
Yeah.
Also, like, you know, it's been so long, so it was pretty cool to see like that they added more recent Disney character in it.
Yeah. Especially Toy Story.
Yes, Toy Story and Monstropolis. Oh gosh, those are my two favorites so far. I also liked a lot Pirates of the Caribbean. The new world that they created is really good too.
See, I like better than that far.
What it was in the old one. You're not that far. I know.
No, I'm not. I'm not that far at all.
You are. So I mean, you are in right now in Toy Story, like, so which is the second world?
Yeah. I just got to Toy Story. Like literally, I think what 3 nights ago got to Toy Story. So
really, you're gonna like it. You're gonna like it. So, don't forget to take the pictures for the...
No. But that's my problem. That's my problem with these games. Now that they've come out, if there's a picture, I'm the idiot that will spend 10, 15, 16 hours just taking pictures and side quests instead of the main storyline. So I'll stay on a game without completing it or advancing because I'm that guy.
Yeah.
the one question I do have to ask you, you know, particularly about Kingdom Hearts, is I haven't seen much Final Fantasy characters, and I'm a little worried about that. And you know, you can spoil that for me if you want. I don't care. I mean, have you run into any? I mean, that kind of hurts my soul if there's none.
Yes, only one or two in the association, but it's not like as much as the older game.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Pooh.
Well, but maybe I'm not far enough too, so I don't know.
Well, we'll definitely have to exchange Twitter handles so we can keep each other up to date. So the next time you come and talk to us, you know, I'm not still in Toy Story looking like a freaking green thumb noob.
Well, you're gonna be able to tell me where I have to take the pictures.
Yeah, I will show you.
Yeah, because I'm concentrated on the main story right now, but I will do all the side quests after.
Okay. Well, nice. Then you can hit me up for that information, because I've spent probably 5 hours just taking pictures.
Oh, guys, breaking news. DJ just got past level one on Donkey Kong.
Oh, good job, sir. Good. How many barrels did you jump over?
Whatever.
So, to kind of, you know, piggyback off of that, you've got the passion for multiple things. This is the coolest thing about talking to you, is that your genuine, you know, interests and passions come off, you know, very, very well. Is there something that you see yourself achieving in like 5-10 years from now? Where do you see yourself going? You're not one who is, you know, obsessed with, I got to get in the WWE. You're doing wrestling. I think one of the best things about it is you're doing it your way. And do you see yourself, would you ever consider maybe,
you know, eventually moving into almost like a producer role, a booker role, something that you can incorporate some of these passions and maybe even create using your creativity, you know, characters and storylines that almost mirror some of your interests?
Well, I don't know how many times I have left to wrestle, but for sure I know that when the time will happen that I will stop, I will stay in the wrestling business and probably as a booker. That's what I always wanted to do. I'm not the type of person that wants to be a wrestler and a booker at the same time, because I feel like you have to be like really concentrate on what you want to do in the show. So for now, I live my fullest life as a wrestler, and I see what will happen. And I know I never had this ambition to go like in WWE or even like even in ROH or something like that. I just want to travel and wrestle the best as I can, and you know, do what I have like as a passion and not. And as a hobby and not like as a job.
Yeah.
But I know for sure that when it will end, I will stay in the wrestling business, like for sure. I just don't know where. I just don't know when.
Right. Sure.
That's awesome. All right. So, Mary, we're going to be having a new segment on the show. My name's Sin City Steve, and the Seven Deadly Sins are a thing. So we're adopting it for the show, and it's going to be kind of word association, kind of a lightning round, if you will. So I'm just going to say a name or a promotion or something of that nature. Just tell me the first thing that pops into your head, and we're going to do this for 70 seconds. It's called 70 Deadly Seconds. So are you ready? Do you need a second?
Yes.
All right.
I am.
Awesome. So we're going to go ahead and start the clock. Lufisto.
Oh, mentor.
NCW.
Home.
Jordan Grace.
A great opponent.
Solo Darling.
So fun.
Shimmer.
Shimmer, a dream.
Awesome. Kira.
Kira, oh god, that girl, I love her.
Crazy Mary Dobson.
An example, awesome. I can say.
Project 13.
Old school, god.
Heavy Metal Chaos.
The best team that I ever had.
LDDC.
A great promotion.
Atomic Championship Wrestling.
A lot of fun.
And Glow on Netflix.
God, I love that series. Yes.
Nice.
Awesome. Thank you for participating. So,
you know, speaking of Glow, what would you say? What character would you say is the most relatable that you find to yourself?
It's been a while. Oh, okay. You know the two old women that became like the twins. I don't know, rock twins. I don't remember.
Right.
Yeah, I like those characters. I really love them. So. Because when I started, I was like, a character that I didn't really like. My name was Mary Lollipop back then, and whatever. Yeah. and then I became the punk rock princess Mary Rose. So they made me think about that, about the same way that I became something that I like. So, yeah.
No, that's, you know,
I love those too.
That's so awesome that that a show like that actually can hit on notes where you can relate, you know. And I think that you know, sometimes that people don't, you know, you watch things for entertainment value, and they don't realize that there are things in that show that just hit close to home for people who have done it, because it still is based in the reality of the wrestling world. And even though things are tweaked to be a little more dramatic, you know, the wrestling world in itself is pretty dramatic. So with that being said, is there a particular story or instance that you remember that was just, you know, a crazy road trip or something that, you know, you could, that could actually translate into like this was out of a movie?
In my own life, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, my first maybe 2-3 years, I think they were like pretty special. I was following Lufisto like everywhere where she wanted to brought me, like, and I went to GAPW, and she brought me to a couple of other federation in the US, and she made me travel, and I think those are really, really good memories for me. I think that if there's something that woman I want to do wrestling is, I think that part of my life will be what I want to show them.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So I have a question for you. What is one thing that maybe a very small percentage of people don't know about you that you wouldn't mind disclosing?
Wow, that's a good question. what people don't know about me, and not that people know everything about me, but I don't have any idea at the time. Wait a sec. Do you have like a subject in particular? Like,
let's say ambition, like a secret ambition. If let's just say wrestling, you know, is no longer something that's on the table, which heaven forbid that does ever come into reality. What's something that people don't know about a secret ambition that you'd like to do that people are like, oh, holy shit, really?
Okay, so if wrestling is not something possible anymore, I think I wanted to do, I always wanted to do stunts, you know, for movies.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I think that will be my secret ambition. Yeah. If I could do that, I will.
Mary, I got a question for you. You are, you know, the wrestler Christopher Daniels, right?
Yes.
Okay. So speaking of that, what's really interesting with Chris is that he currently is part of the Waterworld stunt show at Universal Studios in Hollywood.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so you know what? There is opportunities out there that if you ever, you know, sought something where you wanted to just try it and give it a try, definitely look at the theme parks, especially if you do get a chance to come to the States and maybe work at one of the Six Flags franchises. They tend to have Batman stunt shows.
Mm-hmm. This is very true.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. So
I could be a Batwoman.
Yeah.
Yes, you could.
Wow. Yeah. And that would be awesome.
I'll pay to go see that.
And the other thing, too, is here, I can tell you right now, I used to work at Universal Studios, and I know with the theme parks here, when they have stunt shows, they absolutely look for women who can do stunts, because it's not a high percentage. You know, that's you're looking for a needle in a haystack to find people who, you know, are trained and can do that. So that's something to think about if you're ever ambitious and you ever want to just, you know, chill in the States and make a little cash while you can. The Batman stunt show would be awesome. Yeah.
Yes, of course. Oh, God, I will make some research about it for sure.
So, with the last question that I will be asking, And I've been, mm-hmm. I promised these guys I'd behave myself and not talk as much. I have a segment that these guys sometimes allow me to have, although I got to be honest with you, it might not be as good as Seven Deadly Sins questioning. That was actually pretty freaking awesome. Okay. But I have a segment which is called the Oh Shit Moment. So the purpose of this segment is for anybody that we interview, think of a time, whether it be inside the ring or outside the ring, when you have experienced something so traumatic, something so weird, something so out of the box that you just merely could only think of, oh shit.
Okay, something that happened?
Yes.
Wait a sec. Something that happened, oh shit. I actually, during a match, something that I saw, wait. I have a couple things in mind. But
you can get more than one if you'd like.
Okay, but something that happened to me during a match was outside of the ring, and a girl, Angie Sky, forearmed me right on the jaw, and it dislocated.
Oh!
And, and I put it back myself.
Oh,
you literally just finished the match. Put it back in?
Yeah, I put it back in myself.
Oh,
like got hide under a table, got it back, and finished my match.
Oh,
wow!
So yeah,
wow. That is great.
I think it's one of my favorite oh shit moments.
Oh wow, that's definitely an oh shit.
Damn,
yeah.
Like I gotta say, that's pretty freaking impressive.
Well, now it is.
moment, I don't even think I could do that.
At the moment, it was not a good decision.
How long did it take you to recover from that after the match?
I think I got like 2 weeks not able to fully open my mouth.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Yeah, at least 2 weeks. Jeez. 2 weeks, yeah, at least.
Wow.
So it's official. If ever you're in Vegas and I'm having some problems with any females, could I please have you on speed dial? And I'll probably just let them know. You don't want to mess with this woman. She had her jaw dislocated and she popped it right back in and got to the ass whipping again.
Yes. Keep me on speed dial.
I will. I don't mind. I will. You let them know.
That's awesome. Well, Mary, look, we want to thank you for spending some time with us and hanging out. How can people reach you if they want to know more information about what's going on in your life?
Of course, there's social media. They can follow me on Instagram, mm-hmm. Twitter. I'm not really active, but I promise I'll try to be. and I do have a Facebook page, but it's pretty much in French. But I do translate important stuff. So social media is always the best way to follow me, and I do announce all my matches and everything.
Okay, and do you have any matches coming soon that you can tell us about?
I'm having a break for June.
Okay,
I'm out of the ring for all month.
Sure.
I got. I think my body and particularly my knee do need this break.
Okay.
But in July 13, I'll be back in a Survivor match. It's all women match.
Okay.
It's in a federation in Quebec called La Lutte Vraie. So I'll be there on July 13, and I have some pretty exciting other booking that's coming up. Further, but you will have to follow me to know that because I cannot talk about it right now.
Gotcha.
I got you. So everyone, let's start following Mary Lee Rose, and I think we're going to be excited to see what she does in her career. So with that, we thank you very much, everyone. Mary Lee Rose.
Thank you. Thanks to you guys for having me. Seriously, it was really fun. It was a lot of fun.
No problem.
Biggest Bad Boys of Podcasting.